Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, till ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, and watching unto prayer. Where duty calls or danger, he's never wanting there. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, dear God, that through your word you reveal to us things as they were, things as they are, and things as they will be. Father, you are careful through the Spirit to keep us informed, to keep us in touch with what is taking place in our lives and in the world around us. Lord, that we might be ready, that we might be watching, that we might be well informed. Dear God, well informed as to the nature of the events that unfold around us. Father, we just pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would open the eyes of our understanding to what you have for us today, that you would open the eyes of our understanding to the world that we live in today, that our hearts and minds would be at peace, that we would be walking in the Spirit's power and strength. And Father, that our eyes would be fully open to who we are in this world, that we might represent Jesus in every way. Father, we thank you for the innumerable blessings that are ours this moment. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's turn back to Psalms. Last week I spoke from Psalm 1. And we saw, again, it's important to, I guess, just kind of quickly review this, what a very clear line is drawn in Psalm 1, that in the end of all things, there is that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous that will be forever separated and forever divided. That which is righteous will know the Lord and the blessings of God for eternity. That which is unrighteous shall perish, as verse 6 says. The ways, the thoughts, the patterns, the directions, the purposes, all the things of the ungodly will perish. There will be no room in eternity. Though eternity is very, if you had a big place and a long time, there is not one little bit of space remaining for ungodliness, for unrighteousness, for sin, for darkness. It will be banished in its entirety and destroyed. So we are to arm ourselves with this understanding. This is a knowledge that not many are willing to make this stand and to take this position. It's by all means politically incorrect by the world's standards, by today's standards. It is endures a lot of resistance by the world around us. That how dare you think that you are right and I am wrong, that your God is God and my God is not God. Yet throughout Scripture, time and time and time again, the Lord has demonstrated that he alone has abilities and powers and authorities over every other thing, over every other thought, all things. But blessed, as verse 1 says in Psalm 1, blessed is that person that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not even give it consideration. Isn't that something we hear all the time today? That, well, you really need to consider other people's positions and respect those, even if you don't agree with them. Well, you do to a certain extent. You don't just come out and hit people with a sledgehammer. You listen to what they have to say, and there's things that we can learn from other persons' humanity. But when it comes to the things of God, we cut no corners. We offer no quarter for ungodliness. And the world thinks we're intolerant. But the world as we know it, as we approach Psalm 2, the world as we know it is going to come to an end. This is something that we as Christians are to be aware of, that believers, think of Israel right now. I can't help but think of Israel, how their history, their 4,000 years of history as a nation, approximately, is still an affront to the world around us. We don't hear that talked about. The farthest, you know, oftentimes they go back and covering the news is, well, when Israel was made a state in 1948 by the Balfour Declaration, how they were given this land, and they've been colonizing it ever since, and they've been pushing out the native people. Well, the native people aren't the native people. And that sort of thing, there are those sort of things and realities that are not talked much about because the world does not want to recognize Israel because of exactly who they are. They represent the nation, the people of God. And that is at the focal point in all the world today because of the war that has sprung up and the actions that are taking place. What right do they have to do that? What right did they have to drive out the Canaanites, as we're studying in Deuteronomy on Wednesday nights? Who gave them that right to come in and just kick these people out of their homes and their cities and their fields and drive them out into the wilderness? God did. And God was their power. God was their strength. And God today is still their power and strength. They were kicked out. I'll never forget, there's a book, a commentary on the book of Revelation, written by a man named J.A. Sice. And I believe the book was written in 1875. And in that book, in studying the book of Revelation, he made the comment, or a very small portion, but in a sense, but he followed the teaching of what's revealed in the book of Revelation, and he stated that Israel would again become, in the future, in 1875, the world would, or the Israel would again become a physical nation. And that just about, or all but, ended his career. He was mocked and laughed at to even state, because Israel had not been a country of its own for 2,500 years. It's like saying, well, you know, the Odo Indians are going to have reestablish and have their own territory, their own lands again. You go to a planning meeting and people don't even want another house built, let alone have all their lands confiscated and give up their farms and turn it back over to the Native Americans. But the religious, the scholastic, if you would, community within the churches at that time nearly destroyed J.A. Sice's. It's a really pretty good commentary, too. But because he said Israel would again become a nation. They said, that's just symbolic. It doesn't really mean that. Well, within 60-some years, 70 years, here's Israel, a nation again. The world and the plan of God is coming to pass and entering in to the last times. The authority of God, the power of God to draw the world into this conflict where it more and more and more focused on Israel and the God of Israel. Only God has the authority, the power, the ability to even imagine or do that. And he is doing it. And that's why it's so important for us as Christians today. This isn't going to be a commentary on the news, but it certainly brings into focus Psalm 2. And what we're talking about today is the power and authority of God over all the earth, over all creation, to force it, if you would, and bring it into completing his will, his plan. And especially we as Christians today, as the people of God in the world today, knowing the gospel, knowing Christ, believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world, knowing in Jesus, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, and the one who will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that will be exalted, and the one who will make war against the world and bring the world back into the fold and into proper alignment with the world, the Word of God and the plan of God. This Jesus is the one that we claim to be our friend and that we love, who loves us, and we have a relationship with him, and we get to experience life in this world even now, walking under his authority, his power. And when we do, as Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is that man that walketh in the counsel, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. A lot of people worry about the climate. They worry about the political changes. They worry about the war. They worry about the effects of this action and that action on the economy. They worry about the things that are taking place. And there are things taking place in this world that have never taken place before. I was reading short news article this morning, and that right now is we are witnessing the greatest maritime, in other words, naval operation that has ever taken place in the world, in the history of man. And that operation is the commercial Chinese fishing industry. Sounds odd, doesn't it? You know, the United States and most European countries have about 300 commercial fishing ships that go out into the international waters of the ocean to fish and provide fish for their country's populations. About 300 ships. The Chinese operate all over the world, all over in international waters, with 2,600 ships. They're violating all sorts of international treaties when it comes to how much to harvest, what to harvest, how to treat that which is harvested. And they sell their products all over the world. And it's because China is a financial sinkhole. They are struggling to feed their people. They are pillaging the earth for anything they can to continue this appearance and to gain power, because they want the whole world. That's why they're buying farmland. They can't feed their people. They're buying farmland in the United States. Not much in Nebraska, but other places in the United States. They are wanting to build a world power, and they do not care what they destroy in the process, as long as they survive. And that's basically at the root of their political philosophy, that the Chinese communist government, the survival of that government is the preeminent purpose. It must survive at the cost even of its own people. The world that we live in today is, and they are one of the most openly anti-God and ungodly countries with a massive influence throughout the world, and it's continuing to grow. That's the world in which we live. That's just a glimpse of the world in which we live today. But that's the extent to which this world struggles and strives against the will of God, the purpose of God. reading from Psalm 2. I might just go ahead and read Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. My glasses again. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Imagine if you had audience with the leader, whatever, I forget his title, president of China, and you looked him in the eye and said, be wise. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. It's kind of a precarious position to rejoice with trembling, with a fear and respect for the things of God. Think how he might respond to that, other than, why are you wasting my time? This world is set against the Lord and against the Lord's people in every aspect of the way this world functions, in economies, in goals, purposes. Everything depends on Israel cooperating and giving in to the world. And because the United States is the main supporters and backers of Israel, the United States must be brought into line as well. The kings of the earth, the kingdoms of the earth, the powers that be in this world, can see they do not want to be shackled with the burden of Israel. And I believe Jeremiah speaks of that in the Old Testament, that the world is burdened with Israel. But in effect, the world and the systems world are burdened with the existence of God. They see God as a burden, that's something that stands in their way in achieving their idea of what the world should be. And that's really where we're at. That's really, we're coming more and more to the apex of this history and to this point where it's very plain and simple. There are those who want and look forward to the kingdom of God on earth, or look forward to God fulfilling his work on earth and bring this world as we know it to an end. And there are those that would resist that with everything that they have. They do not incorporate, they don't fold in the fact of God into their plans and processes and procedures and purposes on earth. Nobody stops me and said, "Well, wait a minute. Let's pray and let's look at Scripture and see how this fits in with what God's Word says, so that we make sure that what we're doing is going to succeed or not." You imagine them doing that at the UN, at a UN meeting? Well, let's check with God first. That does not exist. That does not happen. It does on a few in a few countries among a few leaders. Otherwise, it does not exist. We live in a world and under world systems that totally reject the things that we hold most near and dear. We need to understand that. We need to know that. Like Psalm 1 says, one thing that we like to talk about is how blessed we are in God. How blessed we are. Our lives have been blessed with the person of Jesus who came into our hearts and our lives and transformed us. And I believe we've all experienced what it's like to accept in our hearts, in our souls, in the depth. And our mental logic, the way we look at life, the way we approach life, is day after day after day becomes more refined in our faith in Christ. And what does Jesus have to say about this? Out of tradition, but hopefully more than that, we don't even sit down to a meal without giving God thanks for that food. We don't start off in any kind of decision or project without first praying about it. Lord, if this is what you have for me, if this is what you need to do, then just ask your blessing on it and you give me strength to walk in this way. We as Christians acknowledge the authority and power of God on every level. On every level. The world gives him no consideration whatsoever. It actually holds the thought of that in disdain. But the Lord, as we know, is all power and authority to do right and good according to his perfect will at every level. As it says, we'll have them, he'll laugh at them and hold them in derision, have them in derision. They'll be utterly baffled and floored by the fact. As verse 6 says, yet I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion. When the Lord appears in power and glory, those people left on earth, those that have received the mark of the beast, those nations that are operating on earth will shudder and cry out in fear and trembling. They will seek to hide themselves. Certainly, this cannot be true. This cannot be happening. This cannot be right. We cannot... We've never believed this. We don't want to believe this. This cannot be actually true. We have those situations in our own lives and things where somebody says, do this or this will be the result. There are people that are tried for crimes and they might seem to be petty crimes. They might seem to be just civil crimes or charges, but when they actually get caught, they actually get arrested. You're really arresting me? I never forget I won't go there because I don't know for sure, but this young man that was being arrested for, I believe, a mass murder, he said, well, you can't arrest me. I've got 1,500 friends on this social media site. 1,500 followers. You can't arrest me. They're in disbelief at the power and authorities that operate around them. And very much so the power and authority of God. When Jesus is revealed from heaven, we will be with him and rejoicing. The righteous will be rejoicing. Though they would break the bands of God off of them and be free to do as they would, they'll find themselves, as verse 9 says in Psalm 2, that they will be broken with a rod of iron. Iron speaks of judgment. And the using an iron rod to if you're broken a clay pot with a rod of iron, how easy it is. How you just bring it to small pieces in with one stroke. That's how fragile this world is, and the world systems in this world are before God. We as the people of God need to enfold that into our lives and our decisions and plan on it. Plan on it. Jesus will return in power and glory. His authority will be known. And as we embrace that power, that authority that he has, and we worship him, and we rejoice in him, and rejoice in his purpose, his plans, we find that our lives are blessed. Though they're at odds, completely at odds with the world around us. And the more we exercise and express our faith and our belief and our trust in God, the more we stand out as an oddity in this world and an enemy of this world. We are enemies of the systems of this world because they will not have Christ to be their God until it's forced upon them. When his authority and power is brought to light, they'll be angry and afraid and in disbelief and in awe. They'll be awestruck that this is really happening. Don't tell me the Bible is really right all this time. That Israel have always been the people of God, and he has been protecting them, has been securing them, and is working in and through them. Let's turn to Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 1. And just read the first few verses of Romans. There's a lot that we could refer to. But here's the Apostle Paul addressing these people at Rome, which, again, in Rome was the seat of the world empire at that time. And the Roman Empire, at its greatest, had authority over the countries and lands from which most of us, our relatives, came from in this room. Our relatives were subjects of the Roman Empire. So Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That is, speaking of Jesus. His promise, he'd spoken of Jesus coming and Jesus Christ through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, as we just read in Psalm 2. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. With power, authority, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The greatest fear that this world can cast upon anybody, though I think there are more troubling things that we can go through, is the power of death. The power of death. You pretty much can get anybody's attention when they are threatened with death. Suddenly they become compliant. You know, the traditional holdup. Somebody pulls a gun and says, this is a stick-up. I don't think they announce it anymore, but they did in Westerns that we grew up watching. But This is a stick up. This is a hold up. Give me your money. Give me all your valuables. Give me your watch. Give me this. Give me that. With my authority, I am taking that, the authority of this firearm, I am taking those things from you. If you try to resist, you will die. And people gladly hand over things, even very valuable things, because they don't want to die. Especially in a situation like that, at the hands of somebody that is outside the law. But Jesus comes into this world with authority and power, and it's not unlawful. But the world will discover that the world is unlawful. And they have been robbing God. They have been taking from the things of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. They've been objecting to the will of God for centuries and millennia. But Paul says, I'm an apostle separated unto the gospel, the good news of God. God is good news. Jesus is good news. And so we find a world that stands in opposition of good news. They see it as bad news. And that's the contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous, the godly and the ungodly. And we, again, as the people of God in this world, more and more are to apply the things of God to our lives and see our lives through the lens of eternity, through the power of God, the ultimate conclusion and end of this world as the power and authority of Christ is brought to bear on this world's and this world's systems. And they are forcibly dethroned. The ungodliness, Satan, death, all those things will be forcibly dethroned and come to nothing. Come to nothing. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead displays that the greatest power against the things of God and the people of God is like hitting a clay pot with an iron rod. He has already destroyed the power of death. And we know that. And we live our lives in this world with that in clear focus, in clear view. That not even death is to be feared. The things of this world, the governments, the powers of this world are not to be feared. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, King, you know, we're not hesitant to answer you whatsoever. Nope, we're not going to bow down to your your statue. We're not going to respond to your music. We're not going to dance to your tune. Our God is able. And Jesus raised them, preserved them from death, demonstrated that, and destroyed the authority of that king. Time and again, God has proven that he is truly God. But we have this gospel, this good news of God. He has come not to destroy, he wants to save. He wants to save. This, in the Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 17, Jesus said that I'm not coming to the world to destroy the world, but through Jesus, the world might be saved. Because God loves the world. And the fact that the world cannot and does not recognize the love of God, that's what sin does. It blinds the eye. It darkens the mind. But the light of Jesus, the hope of Jesus, the good news of God is the words on our lips, the good news of God that strips the world of its power, strips the power of death, literally, from the what governs our lives. And it's meaningless. It is already destroyed. He's declared, in verse 4 again, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Israel is the called of God. They were called of God to be the people of God, the nation of God, the people through whom God would rule the world. But we also are called the called of God. You're pretty important people. You are very important people. And the Lord will go to no ends to defend you and your life as you walk with him from the power of the world. He's already given his Son to demonstrate his love. As Paul says in Romans 8, how shall he not also with him freely give us or provide for us or even forgive us all things? We are a powerful people. As we take up the Word of God, as we take up, let's turn to Ephesians 6, as we take up the things that God has provided for us as we walk through this world, as we take those and make them part of our lives and the way we conduct ourselves in this world, we will be empowered with the power of God, amazingly so. Some very familiar verses in Ephesians 6 when Paul speaks of the armor. Verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. I mean, all the armor follows after this, but be strong in who you are in the Lord. Even though you are contrary to the world and the world is contrary to God, be strong in the fact of God, the power of his might, as verse 10 finishes. The power, the authority. Be insistent, be reliant on the fact that there is no situation, no issue that comes our way in this world, but what the power of God in our behalf will be manifest. And we can have peace, knowing that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus is in control. So verse 11 through 17speaks of the armor of God to put it on. I'm not going to read through this. So I don't have time for this. But put on everything that God has provided you to protect you. But this is offensive. This is stuff you put on for offense, not defense. A walled city, a strong wall, that's defense. This is for being out in the middle with a mix of what's going on and having God's protection with us in the midst of, hand-to-hand combat, day-to-day living, day-to-day constant interaction with the world around us. This is what we put on, these different items of armor, that we know that wherever we go, we carry the power and the defense of God. We don't hide someplace behind a strong wall. We don't hide in a secret, but we're to be out there and in the action and intermixing with this world that stands contrary to God and demonstrating with our very lives that we are the just, that we are the called of God, that we are the followers of Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will return to this earth in power and in glory. Let's turn to Revelation 19 real quick. Revelation Revelation chapter 19, and beginning with the 11th verse. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is going to happen. The Lord will bring to an end the kingdoms of this world and the power and authority of this world that seems to be. He will bring it to an end as he returns in power and glory, ready for battle. And we're not going to read the rest of the night, Psalm 19 or Revelation 19, but there's quite a bit of detail there. Those forces in the world will be forced to an end by a greater force. The power and authority of Jesus to do the will of God and carry it out on earth and bring this world as we know it to an end. We are the called of God. We are called to know this, to believe this, to embrace this, and enter into each one of our days knowing that God is with us and we need not fear anything, any power, any authority on earth. For Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We needn't fear what's taking place in Israel right now or in the Middle East. We needn't fear China. We needn't fear Russia. We needn't fear even the leaders in our own country that are contrary to the things of God. We need to know that we live in the kingdom of God now, that our King is our King now, and his power and authority is recognized by us, and we obey it, we follow it. And we needn't be afraid. We needn't be worried. We needn't dread tomorrow's news. We are called to rejoice, knowing that our God is the Almighty God, now and forever. Thank God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness and goodness to us. We thank you that the more wildly we embrace this truth, the more extremely we extreme our faith in you, the greater the power of the Spirit operating in our lives. Father, may we seek out your word and truth and the Spirit's leading in all things, that we might be representative ambassadors of what's to come, those that portend a dismal future for this world. Father, may we enter out into our days fully armored, fully equipped, fully ready in mind and body to confront the forces of this world according to the Spirit's leading. We thank you, dear God, for your faithfulness and the hope you've given us in Christ. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
718, verse 1.
Let's stand and turn number 718 and sing the first verse. 718, verse 1. day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. It's a struggle. There's a battle. There's a fight involved in our lives today. But today, we bear the cross. Tomorrow, we're called to bear the crown. May God bless you. If you'd like to pray and worship the Lord, please do so, for he is worthy. Amen.